Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dan Olin and Best Life Church. Our desire is for Holy Spirit to open up your vantage points to heaven's perspectives and experience living God in real time. Father really does think you're amazing. Enjoy the message.
Yeah, I just say, life really sucks when you think God is not good. No, that's a real deep thought. That's all I have for you today. No, I'm just kidding. But it does. It sucks when you think God's not good. When your understanding of God is that he's not good and that he's kind of like crazy up there and he could do anything to you anytime he wants. I know folks that they basically, the reason, because that's the only version of God they know, that just basically leads them to God doesn't exist. Because it makes life a whole lot easier. If that's the kind of God you think he is, that he doesn't exist. And a lot of folks, mentally, that's what they've done. They've gone to that place of, well, I just don't, he doesn't exist. Because they experience somebody's version of God. You understand there's a difference between who he really is and somebody's version. So, we're in the middle of a series right now. Anybody know what the series is called? It's called Be Free. What is that series about? Well, Pastor Dan, I guess I'll tell you. That series is about the difference between living life out of your routine thought processes versus living life from the revelation of the Spirit of God. I said from the revelation of the Spirit of God. And there is a difference. I've told you this before. I was raised in church my whole entire life and nobody ever taught me this. We just kind of did the best that the mind of man could do. Everything that we learned was the best that the mind of man could understand. And a lot of times that wasn't good enough. But I soon realized when I began to actually read the book, everybody say the book, that it speaks of a environment that frankly, the natural mind of man, the letter that Paul wrote that's called Romans, says that the natural mind of man, the things of the Spirit of God are foolishness to the natural mind of man. And I began to realize as I was reading through the letters of the New Testament that were written by Paul, by the agency of the Spirit of God, through Paul, through Peter, through James, through John, that they were speaking of an environment that they were very familiar with, that frankly, what we would call the modern church scene was not. And I begin to realize that this is an environment that he designed for us to be very familiar with. So we started the series, and I've done a number of reviews over the last weeks. I would encourage you, and I know I say this all the time, but let's be a people that have a culture that value what the Spirit of God gives us. I should hear a number of amens there. Amen. Because the more you value what the Spirit of God gives you, the more He gives you. Right? If you are what did Jesus teach in the Gospel? He said, if you're a steward over the little, He'll make you, if you're faithful over the little, He'll make you ruler over much. So, He wants to establish a culture, and I can't speak broad brush, you know, because I haven't been to every church, especially in this city. I'm sure there's some fantastic ones. But He wants to establish a culture where people value what the Spirit of God gives them, any given service, past the service. Everybody know what I mean by that? Walk it out, live it out, go back and revisit what you heard on Sundays or whatever service it is, and that's where you begin to make it, take it from the place of theory to experience. Because the Spirit of God wants to raise up a people that are chocked with experience with Him. So when we talk about living free, Jesus said in John chapter 8, if you know the truth will make you free. There's a lot of things that we're going to address in this series. And one of the things that I wanted to touch base with, because so much it seems like we've learned things or we've mentally assessed things to be a certain way. And so we try to live those things out, and it's just hard. Does anybody else relate to that, or is it just me? And I realized, you know, for a lot of time I didn't really understand why, because we kept reading things in the Word of God that says it wasn't supposed to be hard. But yet it was hard, and I'm like, what's the deal? And I didn't realize it at the time, but the answer is the series we're in right now. And I don't understand, frankly, why we haven't learned these things before now. I don't understand why I didn't learn these things years and years and years ago. And I'm not trying to toot my own horn. It's just, you know, like I said, I teach things. I'll teach a series until I get an impression that I'm supposed to go a different direction. So I go a different direction. And this was the series that came after our series on authentic community. Because I realized this during the series on authentic community, that we're trying to put the cart before the horse. We tried all kinds of things to establish authentic community, and it was great, but we talked about it in the series on authentic community when we looked in the book of Acts. The very first thing that they started with, it was an authentic community. It was that He's the biggest one in the room. So they were living from a place of the environment of living from Revelation. And that common revelation that they were living in was drawing them together. We can't try to establish authentic community horizontally unless we have authentic revelation vertically, and it's all the same, and that in itself will draw people to each other. Without this vertical unity and everyone living from the same foundation, there's no prayer of horizontal. Because somebody in the crowd will be living from what Judges said is they do that which is right in their own eyes. And as long as you have multiple, that which is done in their own eyes is what they do, there's no gel in that. One of the things they used to do back in the days of the Romans and the Greeks is they would take a... See if I can get this correct. It's been so many years since I've heard this story. But they would take marble statues and things, and folks would make the marble, and they would mix all kind of junk in there. So it wasn't pure. Well, it's also cheap. And over time, it won't hold together. Do you remember the story of Nebuchadnezzar and the statue, the dream he had, and he had the head of gold, and then it was silver, and it went down to, and it went to bronze, and then it went down to the feet, and they were iron and clay. Well, you can't mix iron and clay. Well, that iron and clay that it was talking about what the Roman Empire would become once it became diluted. And then we know from history it just stopped existing. Fell apart. So when we're speaking of in a series called Living Free, Be Free, you'll know the truth and the truth will make you free. We're speaking of, and the Spirit of God is trying to lay a foundation with His people, that you've got to become familiar and learn how to live from not your intellect, not your rationalization, not that which seems right in your own eyes, not from your natural thought processes, but from revelation from the Spirit of God. Otherwise, it doesn't matter whether we're church people or people that never darkened the door of a church, even if you have the new nature or not have the new nature, it really doesn't really matter because your thinking is still coming from the same place. There's only two versions. There's not the world's version and then a Christian who's an intellectual and then someone who's living by revelation. Because sooner or later, this individual who's the intellectual Christian is going to agree with the one over here. I have kind of a visual for you to help you understand this concept of how important it is to make the shift from living from your intellect, from pre-programmed ideas, to living from revelation. You guys ready?
Yep.
Okay. What you're about to view is what happens to an entire population of people when they're all following the same source and it's not the right one. Go ahead and roll that.
Bad SpongeBob's not here to enjoy SpongeBob not being here.
Morning!
Some people have no taste in headgear. Babies too? Excuse me, miss, but where is everybody getting that horrid headwear?
Who said that?
Down here.
Oh, well, I got it at the Chum Bucket. Plankton's giving them away free with every Krabby Patty.
Chum Bucket? Free? Krabby Patty? Plankton? Giving? With? You're selling Krabby Patties, eh, Plankton?
That's right, Squidward. And there's a free bucket helmet with every purchase. Care for one?
No! You may have hoodwinked everyone else in this backwater town, but you can't fool me. I listen to public radio.
What's that supposed to mean?
It means you set up Mr. Krabs. You stole the crown so Neptune would freeze him and you could finally get your stubby little paws on the Krabby Patty formula. It was you all along. But you made one fatal mistake. You messed with my paycheck. And I'm gonna report you to the highest authority in the land, King Neptune.
We'll see about that, Inspector Loose Lips.
Now activating helmet brain control devices.
What?
Seize him, slaves! All hail! stop me now!
Okay, so that is a little dramatic. But it made my point. What happens, folks, is the reason this is so important is because without realizing, if we stay locked in our own thought processes and we try to do Christianity in our heads, essentially you're going to miss a lot. And what happens is you find yourself trying to do Christianity naturally. And it's work. In fact, some of you probably feel like this person. And the question is, are we creating an environment of resting or striving? Now, before I go on, I want to just address that, because the natural thought process, and I've actually talked to people, believe it or not, who actually think that works is anything that you have to do at all. So therefore, they don't do anything. Because it's all on God, it's not me, I'm not going to do anything, that would be works. So they just sit back and they wait for things to come to them. But that's not what works is. Works is doing something or setting something in motion in order to get Him to be pleased with you. It's to try to get God to delight in you. We do things. And folks, that comes as a natural place of living for people who live out of their heads. I don't care whether they're in the church or not in the church. That's where everyone lives. So that's a natural thought process. So if it's a natural thought process, it's not Him. It's not coming from revelation. It's coming from natural thought process. You can get a church person and a non-church person, and they'll at some point agree on that. Trying to get God to be pleased with them. Trying to get God to delight Him. That they do all. It may look a little different over here on a non-church person than a church person, but the motives and everything else is exactly the same. Why is that? Because it all comes from the same source. So they're all walking around looking like those guys. They're all doing the same exact thing because they're all getting the same input. So we need to learn how to disconnect from the place of living out of your own intellect. You know, I mentioned that verse that Romans, Paul said by the Spirit of God that the things of the Spirit of God are foolishness to the natural man. And so all the church people say, yes, amen, brother. And yet on Monday, they don't remember a word that was talked about on Sunday. You just did the same exact thing. The things of the Spirit of God gives us in a service. He's given us those things so that we'll take a hold of those things, step up into those things, and make them be a part of our life. Not just to chalk up, okay, I got another sermon under my belt. Because frankly, by Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, if we've desired, and I'm kind of getting off track here, but if we are cultivating that environment of loving and valuing the things of the Spirit of God, you still will remember what you learned on Sunday. Because it wouldn't be the last time you ever heard it. Somebody say amen. See, those are the ways you can tell what environment are you cultivating in your life. We don't walk around with buckets over our heads. But yet, if we've chosen to revert back to at 12:31 in some seconds, if we revert, as soon as our feet hit the pavement of the parking lot, we revert back to our normal way of thinking, then you're still living with that bucket on your head. And you're doing life, you're trying to be like this kid trying to do the monkey bars. You know what the next step on this one is? You can tell it by his face. His hands are going to slip and he's going to fall. But there's another way to do it. Acts chapter 3, verse 18 through 21 said this: God has fulfilled what he foretold through the prophets long ago about the sufferings of the Anointed One, verse 19. And now you must repent and turn back to God so that your sins will be removed. That's a major importance. Not because of the way religion has said it, but because of the fact that he doesn't want you having any baggage. He doesn't want any garbage speaking in your ear. He doesn't want that bucket on your head constantly resonating in your thought processes. So there's a reason why he separated you and cut free any of the history of your life. Because all he wants you to do is learn how to develop your fellowship with him, your relationship with him, your intimacy with him, and learn how to live and move and have your being in him. So he says in verse 19, now you must repent and turn back to God so that your sins will be removed, and so that times of refreshing, everybody say refreshing, will stream from the Lord's presence. If that doesn't speak about the results of living from revelation, I don't know what does. Would you agree with me that if you are living in his presence, that revelation is going to be a constant flow? We're the ones that put him in our intellect. Got a little picture of him, stuck it up there. Somebody mentions his name, we recall the picture. That's our Jesus. He's my personal Savior. But the image you have of him is not who he is. Again, we've talked about that. Revelation and Daniel will tell you who he really is if you go read those. It's pretty amazing. It was so impactful that John's response was he just fell at his feet like he was dead. He was so amazed at his presence. From that presence flows constant revelation from heaven. That is where you were created to live from. John 14, 2 and 3, Jesus said this. Now remember, this is the last conversation, again, that he had with his disciples before he was going to the cross. It was probably a pretty important conversation. Would you agree? He said, "My Father's house has many dwelling places. If it were otherwise, I would tell you plainly, because I go to prepare a place for you to rest." Now, in verse 3, he says, "And when everything is ready, I will come back and take you into me," again, I'm reading from the Passion Translation, "so that you will be where I am." Everybody say, "I am." Now, here's the funny thing about these verses. Is, for the most part, we've read these verses from our natural intellect. So when we read that Jesus says, "I'm going away to make you know," one translation says there's, you know, dwelling places or many, many homes or whatever, and "I'm going to prepare a place for you," we immediately envision a mansion in heaven. I've been there. I saw the same thing. But if you read what he's saying here, he's not talking about you going to live in a dwelling. He just said, "In my Father's house, there's many dwellings." Right? Where did you ever get the idea that the dwelling was a dwelling and he was going to put you inside the front door? He goes on to explain. He said, "My Father's house has many dwelling places. If it were otherwise, I would tell you plainly, because I go to prepare a place for you to rest." Now, if you read John 14, 15, 16, and then read what he prayed in John 17, you realize that the dwelling he's talking about is you. There's many dwellings in my Father's house. Why? Because there's more than just him. Right? He goes on to say in John 14, 15, 16, and what he prays in 17, that they're going to come and make their abode in you. Right? That's why he said that when everything is ready, after his resurrection, I'm going to come back and take you into me. That's another thing he explained in John 14, 15, 16, and prayed in chapter 17, was that you would be one with Father the way that He is one with Father. He dwells in His Father, and His Father dwells in Him. You dwell in Him, and He dwells in you. So we're all still talking about this dwelling places, the many dwelling places, right? I'm not trying to negate the fact that they, you know, you got a house up there. If you had your heart set on that house up there, I'm not saying it's not there, okay? Don't stomp out of here and say, Pastor Dan took my house. I'm not doing that. I'm just telling you that's not what he's talking about. Okay? Notice in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 4, chapter 4, verse 1, Jesus said he's going away. He's going to come back, and he's going to establish a place for you to rest. Everybody say rest. These are the most amazing scriptures. By the way, do you guys have your Passion Translation yet? Well, dadgum, they're not that expensive. Yeah, it's amazing. One of these days, I'm going to walk in, I'm going to ask that question, and everybody in the seats is going to hold it up. It'll be awesome. Amazon sells, I think they have the entire thing now, plus Psalms and Proverbs. The entire New Testament plus Psalms and Proverbs. And I don't know if a Song of Solomon's in there. Probably it is. All in one binding. So, like, they're like $40. It's not expensive at all. I have no idea. I haven't been to that Christian bookstore. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you could always go in and ask. I can't imagine they wouldn't have it. If they don't have it, just say, you need to get saved. No, I'm just kidding. Just anywhere you can get it. The reason I say is because, look, you know, Pastor Shelby, you've mentioned it before, is we've got to come to the place where we want to have new thoughts. And I don't want to have somebody else's thoughts. I love this translation because of the fact that he brings things out that were in the Aramaic, which was the language of the day, along with the notes and things that talk about what's in the Greek and everything else. That, I mean, there's so much in this translation. And it's time for us to get a new thought because we've settled into our natural intellects. We've just simply plugged in our Bible version into our intellect, and we don't think anything else. So that's my shameless commercial. They can compensate me later. No. Hebrews chapter 1, 4, verse 1. Jesus said, I'm going away in John. He said, I'm going away to bring you to a place of rest. And so Hebrews 4, verse 1 says this. Now God has offered to us the same promise. Now watch this. The same promise of entering into His realm of resting. Everybody say His realm of resting. God has offered us the same promise of entering His realm of resting in confident faith. You could say in the confident revelation of faith, or the revelation that faith brings. Right? Folks, I'm not going to come off of that particular wording of the word faith, because we have wholly absorbed in our intellect the natural man version of what we call faith, and it produces pain and suffering. Because we try to do it and we're striving and we don't realize why it ain't working. The reason it's not working is because that's not the version that the Spirit of God revealed in His Word. Watch this. Jesus said, I'm going away and I'm going to go and bring you to a place of resting. Hebrews 4 says that God offered to us the same promise of entering into his realm of resting in confident faith, so that we might be extremely careful to ensure that we all embrace, everybody say embrace, the fullness of that promise and not fail to rationalize it. Is that what it says? No, not fail to experience it. Guess what happens when you get something from the Spirit of God and 3 minutes later, it's like the parable of the sower, life absorbs you, you forget the revelation glimpse that you got, and you immediately revert back to the familiar. Guess what you just did? You just did not embrace the fullness of the promise so that you could experience it. Because it doesn't exist in the realm of rationalization. Hebrews 4:7, Passion Translation. For God still has ordained a day for us to enter into, called today. I'm going to read that again. For God still has ordained a day for us to enter into, called today. Now, pop quiz. Why is it called today? Anybody? Bueller? I'm sorry, what did you just say? It's called today because we just got done talking about his realm of rest. Right? His realm of rest, there is no tomorrow, it is all right now. It is all today. Say it, it's all today. There's no yesterday, there's no tomorrow, it's all today. God still has ordained a day for us to enter into, called today. For it was long afterward that God repeated it in David's words, if only today you will listen to his voice. Here's what you need to realize. Why is it important for us to live from revelation and not from your own intellect or your own familiar thought processes? Because everything that is revelation from heaven is founded and comes from today. Faith is the substance, it's the evidence of things that are today. Watch this. Hebrews 4, verses 9 through 11. There is still a full and complete rest, if I say rest, waiting for believers to experience, verse 10 in chapter 4. As we enter into God's faith rest life, we cease from our own works just as God celebrates his finished works and rests in them. Do you know how many times I've read these verses and completely and utterly failed to see what he's saying in this verse? I want you to notice what he's saying. He's talking about a place of rest. He's talking about a place of rest that comes from a place called today. Notice this verse. He likens our life habits to come into line with the way God acts. And it says this, there still is a full and complete rest waiting for believers to experience as we enter into God's faith rest life, or God's revelation of faith rest life. We cease from our own works just as, everybody say just as, just as God, what's the very next word? He celebrates and his finished work and he rests in them. Why? He's saying this is the lifestyle that lives from revelation. Revelation comes from everything that's finished. When Revelation flows to you, it's revealing to you things that it's the evidence of finished things. Today. Right now. So our response would be the same as God's. I used to focus on the, you know, cease from my own works. That would be my focal point of the verse. That's not the focal point of the verse. The focal point of the verse is you're celebrating. But you can't celebrate if you don't have any revelation that it's today and the works are finished. You're not deficient. Do you remember when Jesus told the story, the parable of the sower and the seed? And one of the writers writes it like this, that part of the reason why some of the seeds didn't come up is because they lacked moisture and they had no root in themselves. Think about this. Okay, granted, you're sitting in this room. I get it. But there is a you that's not sitting in this room. There is a you that is in the presence of the Lord today. That you is not sick, it's not feeble, has no deficiencies, has no issues whatsoever. The job of the revelation of faith is to reveal to you what is today, who you are today, who you've always been today. It's been finished. It's done. It's a done deal. This is the rest that Jesus bought for us to live in, but you can't access that rest living out of your intellect. You can only access that rest of the finished revelation from the place of revelation, from the Spirit of God. So that we must give our all and be eager to experience this faith rest life. Revelation flows from finished. It doesn't flow from, well, God's gonna. It doesn't flow from one of these days. It flows from what's finished. Revelation, the revelation of faith, the evidence of things that are finished, but they're not seen, but they're finished. And they're also today. So when God was done with all that He did, He sat back and rested because it's a done deal. Now, I'm not talking about this mental mind game that we play in just not doing anything and just say, well, you know, it's finished. It's already a done deal. But you know, and everybody else knows that listens, that really that hasn't penetrated below your mental thought process. We are masters of saying all the right things, but we're still living here. You know you have you've dropped from the mental realm down to the revelation realm when your response is you celebrate because you see it. Say, I celebrate because I see it. That's the role of the revelation of faith in your life. Faith is the evidence of finished things. Ephesians 1, 2, and 3. Now watch this. Ephesians 1, 2, and 3. May God Himself, the Heavenly Father. Now remember what Jesus said in John. He said, I'm going away. Make it possible for you to enter into a place of rest. And then from that point on, He began to talk to you about the environment of the union of you and the Spirit of God, one Spirit together, Him inside of you, you inside of Him, and all of the things that were produced as a result of that union. And you can't have that union and think that there's no flow of revelation constantly happening. Right? So it's the revelation that creates the rest. Not the trying to psych yourself out emotionally and get into a place of deep breaths. That's not what he's talking about. That's why he said, the peace I leave with you is not the peace of the world, which is, just give me a moment. Think happy thoughts. The peace he's talking about is, again, what is it? It's a carpenter term. It refers to the dovetailed joint of two pieces of wood, and it's so craftily done that they now become one piece and they're absolutely inseparable. And then he explains what it looks like in John 14, 15, 16, and prayed it out in chapter 17. And all of that is all, it's all the same subject, guys. It's the place of rest. Revelation provides that rest. Ephesians 1, 2, and 3. May God Himself, the Heavenly Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, release grace. What is grace? It's His presence and the working of His power as a result of His presence. Release His presence and the working of His power over you and impart. What's that word impart mean? How about reveal? Download. He's speaking about revelation, is it not? Total well-being into your life. Verse 3. Everything heaven contains has already been lavished upon us as a love gift from our wonderful Heavenly Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus, all because He sees us wrapped into Christ. He didn't tell you that so you could mentally grab a hold of that and quote it. He told you that so that you could grab a hold of it and farm the revelation that's in those verses and allow the revelation of faith to show you what you look like inside of Him, and it'll cause you to come to the place of celebrating because you've made a choice in your life that you're going to pursue the Spirit, the things of the Spirit of God, and not rest in your own mental thought processes. Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. For we have a magnificent King Priest, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who rose into the heavenly realm for us. He talked about that in John 14, didn't he? I'm going away. These are like bookends. So now we come freely and boldly to where love is enthroned, to receive mercy's kiss and what? Discover. Isn't that a revelatory term? Discover the grace, discover the presence and the working of His power that's connected to His grace, His presence. We urgently need to strengthen us. What happens when you're strengthened? What's that song? Celebrate good times. Come on. You celebrate. That just went out on internet land. Oh gosh. No judging. The promise of the Father is the Holy Spirit upon you. We talked about that. I'm going to close with this because of our time. But understand, folks, there's a difference between you having the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit being upon you. I'm going to show you these verses again, just real quick. The promise of the Father is the Holy Spirit upon you. Everybody say upon you. It's not in you. That's not the promise. And I realize I'm probably swimming really, really swimming upstream here. But your Bible says the same thing if we would just read it. The promise of the Holy of the Father is it's the same promise that Jesus talked about in John chapter 14, 15, 6. It's the same promise. It's not the Holy Spirit in you. It's the Holy Spirit upon you. Can you understand that there's a difference? The Holy Spirit upon you is supposed to bring you into that environment of power. The Holy Spirit in you is to bring you to that place of revelation. But the revelation is supposed to bring you into the environment of the Holy Spirit upon you and the power. He never designed for us to have one but not the other. The one was supposed to lead us into the other. You saw that example in the book of Acts. Does that make sense? Watch this. John chapter 20, verse 20 and 22. Jesus is resurrected. He shows up to his boys. And he said to them, he showed them both of his hands and his side. The disciples then rejoiced when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I'm also sending you. And when he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. He did say that, didn't he? Receive the Holy Spirit. Okay. Well, let's go to one of the other writers. This was John. Look at what Luke says. Luke says he opened their minds. How did he open their minds? He breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit within, did they receive it? Yes. It says, he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. He said to them, thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead the third day, and that repentance was forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, which they were. He goes on to say, and behold, I'm sending forth the promise of my Father. Hold on right now. You already breathed on them. That's why I'm saying you, the promise is not the Holy Spirit in, it's the Holy Spirit upon. Because between John and Luke, we already saw the fact that when he breathed into them and said, receive the Holy Spirit, he was doing that to open up their vantage point to heaven's perspectives so they understood the scriptures. That wasn't the promise, that was a result of the nature change. Right? Otherwise, he wouldn't have had the conversation to go to Jerusalem and wait there for the promise of the Father if they already just got it. Some might say, well, there was more people there in Jerusalem than there was in the other. It doesn't matter. The ones that were there were there. He didn't say, okay, anyone that wasn't here tonight, make sure you tell them to go to Jerusalem and receive the promise of the Father. Clearly, it's two separate things. Why have we ever settled for an intellectual gospel that didn't even allow us to take advantage of the revelatory ministry of the Spirit of God in you that was supposed to take you into Him being upon you and call it good enough? There's a bunch of other verses. Like, you know, you can write these down. You can go into the digital bulletin online. All these verses are there. There's a number of places in Acts where it clearly mentions two separate experiences: Holy Spirit within, Holy Spirit upon. Folks, the desire of the Spirit of God is for us to stop settling for an intellectual version of Christianity, an intellectual version of Jesus, where somewhere He's out there in the sweet by and by, but I can kind of relate to Him because I have a picture in my head about Him, instead of realizing that He's connected you one spirit with Him, and wherever you are in the today, that's where He is, and we ought to act like it, interact with Him, talk to Him, speak to Him, fellowship with Him like He's right where you're at. The Spirit of God wants to show us so much revelation from heaven along these lines that we can't help but step over into allowing the promise of the Father to fall upon you. In one place in the book of Acts, it even talks about that he asked him, Peter and John asked him, what are you baptized into? A group of people that had got the gospel from Philip, and they came over to make sure that they had received the promise of the Father, which was the Holy Spirit upon them. And he asked them, what were you baptized into? And they said, well, we were only baptized into, you know, in the name of Jesus. They came over into the new nature, but that was only Holy Spirit within them. It wasn't Holy Spirit upon them. And so then they laid their hands on them. And when they laid their hands on them and they made contact with them, it says the Holy Spirit fell upon them. That's the picture in the original language of Him literally throwing Himself around your neck and hugging you and not letting you go. It's that important to Him. So if we want to make a shift, folks, from living out of our intellect to living over in a place and hungering after the things that are revelatory in nature from the Spirit of God out of this Word of God, we have to come to the place we're just not satisfied to intellectually wrap our minds around what we've always heard time after time after time after time. I just showed you a number of verses. I promise you, you've never read them that way before. You know how much in the Word of God is that way? He says, if you'll hunger and thirst for me, I'll satisfy you. Open your mouth, I'll fill it. Because the end result is He's trying to get us from a place of being rational Christians to allowing the Spirit of God, His revelatory ministry, to take you to a place of the Holy Spirit's mantle upon your life, and you'll carry the presence and the power of Him in any marketplace environment you go into. And then you'll find it will not be theory, it'll be proven experience, because that's where revelation will meet Holy Spirit within, will meet Holy Spirit upon, and you'll begin to experience things in God that you only read about, but you are only satisfied to read about them. He said, I'm not satisfied. And you should not be either. That's all I got for today. You guys, listen, you can't go anywhere in the New Testament and not see that the place that revelation will always take you to is power. It will always take you to an experience with His power. Always. That's all it knows to do. So when we learn to live from revelation and cultivate that and act on these things and make them not theory but experience and let the Spirit of God tweak us as we go, it's always, 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 always going to take you into an experience with His power. Whether or not it's healing for you or for somebody else, deliverance for you or for somebody else, it always, always, His presence doesn't produce anything else but His power. His revelation brings you to that. Now, I ask you, that being the case, why in the world would we settle for anything less than that? I am done. You can stand up. But I want to touch base on something real quick. Because I've been doing this Christian thing for 20 plus years. Hasn't been that long. It's been longer than that. I lost track. Long time. Because I'm old dude. And what I've noticed that really has its place in intellectual Christianity, guys. We didn't realize that it did, but it does. Is, now, what did I tell you brought you to the place of experiencing His power? Revelation. Let's just go with the word revelation. Because even with His word, you can intellectually read it, and you're just intellectually reading it. It's not until the revelation comes off the page and you see it and you'll put it in practice in your life, that'll take you to a place of experiencing His power. Now, listen very closely. Here's what I have seen in my life as a Christian. I have seen, and we haven't realized this, but I have seen that there is this mindset of, I'm going to do something in the natural to leverage the power. Right? I remember when I was younger, I was 20-something years old, and I had this roommate. He was fantastic. We basically got an apartment together, and the man bought me a water bed because I was sleeping on the floor. And he got me a water bed, and him one. So, and we used to spend time talking about the things of the Lord. You know, I wasn't baptized in the Holy Spirit or any of that yet. I didn't know how to pray out of my spirit or any of that stuff. I mean, I would try to make myself lay on the floor. And it wouldn't happen. But, you know, so we would talk about things in the Word of God, and just on a certain surface. And he decided I needed new glasses, so he bought me new glasses. I mean, he even asked me what I want. He said, you go get what you want, and I'll pay for it. He did. I was like, man, this is amazing. So I had the coolest glasses ever. But then I had this thought. Stay with me. I had this thought, well, I'm not really supposed to have glasses. Because I thought, if I do something in the natural, I can leverage the power. What is it in your Bible, what leads you to experience with power? Not natural things. But because we've intellectualized the gospel, we've thought that if I just do something in the natural, I can leverage the power. But that's not what leads to the power. What leads to the power is the revelation from the Spirit of God. You acting on that, that leads you to the power. I didn't have any revelation to get rid of my glasses, so I had to go get some more. Yeah. Does that make sense? So let's just be a people that we learn to cultivate that environment. You know, I got stuff going on in this temple, just like a lot of folks do. So I do what I know to do. I bless those parts of my body. I speak the word of God over those parts of my body. But in the meantime, I'm looking to farm revelation for the key to my deliverance. And that's what we do. Because we know what is today. We know everything's been done. We know that Jesus said the place of rest is the place of receiving revelation, so I'm just going to rest. I'm going to celebrate it's done. I'm going to rest and celebrate. But what's causing me to be able to rest is not because I'm mentally trying to psych myself out. I'm literally farming revelation that keeps me in that place of rest. And I'm going to see the key to me being delivered. And when I see it, it'll be. One guy said, sweatless victory. It's all because we live from revelation. Did you guys get anything out of this? Yes. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we love you. We praise you. Holy Spirit, we thank you that everything that you know coming from the Father belongs to us. That you're not hiding anything from us. You're hiding it for us. But you've also said that those who hunger and thirst for righteousness we want to be that people that hunger and thirst for righteousness. Because righteousness isn't just a behavior, righteousness looks like something. Our bodies being free from the damage of infirmity, that's right. In your eyes, that's righteous. our lives being free from deficiency between our ears or any place else in our life. That's what righteousness looks like. So we just ask you, we want to learn. We want you to teach us how to become that people that learns how to live from revelation. Because we know that, you know, we'll get proficient, we'll get good at living from revelation in our own house, in our own life. But then you'll take us to that next place that we'll begin to live from revelation on behalf of somebody else. And that's when we start beginning to make disciples of nations. So we just ask you to bring us to that place. And I know I've prayed it before, but I'm going to pray it again. Stir up such a dissatisfaction on the inside of us for natural, intellectual, familiar thinking that we run after you and pursue you. And you've already promised us that when we draw near to you, you draw near to us. So I just thank you for raising up an entire generation of people. I thank you for raising up multiplied thousands of people that will fill this church, that have one hunger, and that hunger is to pursue you with every fiber of their DNA and to learn how to live in today and rest in everything that's revealed from your mind to ours. And everybody agree with that prayer, said, amen, amen, amen. Well, go have an awesome week.
Thank you for listening. For service times and other event information, visit www.bestlifechurch.org.